Man, I tell you what, 1 week passed by so fast, and I am so happy this evening. I think they say this morning, but this evening. All right. I just got to get to my notes here. Boy, I tell you, this has been a journey. And I'm so excited. Look, last week I delivered a baby, so I feel I'm so happy. And then tonight, I'm going to deliver a couple more. So I'm really that much excited. I think I might have to change my profession here. But anyway, Yah has been faithful. I listened to that song, and how fitting for the song is for tonight is going to be to go along with the word. And I'm going to show you that in the word. I needed to hear that song because that was just like confirmation for me. Amen. And because I was going all week. And a statement was made the other night in Bible study. Said, man, we got at least a couple more Torah portions on this teaching. And that's a true statement. Because all week I've been looking at the first seven verses I read last week. And it's like, yeah, there's got to be more to this. I've seen the comparison. I'm seeing the tie-ins. But there's got to be just some more in the scripture that we can learn from these first seven verses. So my goal was to do 8 and 9. But and possible 10, but I don't think we're going to make it. But just for a recap, let's go. We're going to start back in Genesis 21. We'll start at verse 1. And look, we're still in our same Torah point, Vayera. I'm so thankful that we're going slow and we're taking our time to sit down and diagnose the word. It's all for our benefit because we need it. In the long run, we're going to need it. So this is so, so great. And I tell you, I really have been enjoying it. In verse 1, and Yehovah visited Sarah as he had said. And Yehovah did for Sarah as he had spoken. So Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time of which Elohim had spoken to him. You know why? Because he is in control. He said it. He said, what's going to happen? He's in control of it all. Not just the little things and all that. He's in control of it all. This really kind of blew my mind. And he called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now we learn in chapter 17 that Yehovah said, you're going to call him Isaac. So he's in the driver's seat. That's one thing I've learned about this section of he's doing all the work is done by his hands. Because why? Sarah and I, it was impossible. We learned that. For Sarah, but the scripture tells us in Hebrew that she can have strength because she had to do with her faith. We talked about that the other night in Bible study. That was so powerful. And we're going to look at some more stuff about that. Man, it was just, we needed to hear that because it's her faith. Because without these two people right here, that covenant can't keep going to Isaac and to Yaakov. And here we are in 2024. Don't you know we need that still covenant? It still stands. This is where we come in now. After all these years, I was looking today between Isaac and Yeshua. How long that's been? It's been 2,000, according to the internet, it's been 2,000 years since that stretch. And now here we are, centuries later, and this is still alive today. This covenant is still valid today. And that's what, to me, is so important. And Abraham, on verse 4, circumcised his son Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as Elohim commanded him. Well, why not the first day? Why not the third day? Because Elohim said the eighth day. Let's just leave it at that, because he's in control. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, Elohim has made me laugh, and everyone who hears of it laughs with me. So at one time she was laughing, mocking. Now she's the one being laughed at because look at her next statement. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children in her old age at 90 years old? I would think that's funny too. So like I said, Yehovah, what we learned tonight, he gets the last laugh. So that was great stuff. For I have borne him a son in his old age. And then, and through that son, we see that we're going to see that promised seed start to give birth. Over the years, we don't have time to go look at every little verse in here, but we're going to go, I'm going to take you a fast trip into the future. Not in future today, but in future in Bible tense. Let's go to the book of Luke. Thank you, man. Because how we know that this head promise still stands and it still works? Well, we're gonna read it, because we read the story, certain people read the story at the end of the time of the year. But I've sat down today and it's really popped in there. And I've never seen it like I've seen it today. So let's look at, go to verse 1 of Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Since many have indeed taken in hand to set in order the account of the matters completely confirmed among us. Now, that word us, I know I'm looking at us. It's a simple little word, but you're going to see how powerful just a two little letter word is going to be. That letter, us, is G2254, Hameen. It's mentioned 179 times in the scripture. It's us, we, and our. It has a root word, me. It's ego. It's G1473. It means I, me, and my. Pay attention to these words, because you're going to see when they're going to grab hold of you. It's so powerful. Just a simple little word, us. And those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Now, this is where our faith had to kick in, because we wasn't here at the beginning. This is why we're reading from, we're going over it every time we come here, we're learning. But it's eyewitnesses from the beginning. They had eyewitnesses then. We have to just let our faith activate. This is what we learn, that we have to have that faith like Abraham and Sarah. And servants of the word delivered them to us. What was being delivered to us? What we've learned from the beginning, because we're going to see this. Amen. It seemed good to me as well, having followed up all these matters exactly from the beginning. Now, I'm confused here, because if I'm just a New Testament, he keep talking about the beginning and the front. What are you unhitching from? Because you're not going to know squat about Luke chapter 1. To write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty of the words which you were taught. How you know we're learning tonight? Because while we were taught something, all we got to do is be good students of the word, to sit down and let the word just minister to us. Oh boy. There was in the days of Herodes, the sovereign of Yehuda, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aharon, and her name was Elisheva. And they were both righteous before Elohim. Abraham and Sarah were both righteous before Elohim, blamelessly walking in what? All the commands and righteousness of Yehovah. Now, where would you find, where did they find all these commands that they're walking in? I'm telling you, I'm sitting there all week, Master. I got 2 pages of notes. I wasn't even touching this. This came to me today as I'm sitting on my couch and I'm going through them certain words. And he said, just go to Luke. I feel like I'm missing something. Go to Luke. There's the key to the puzzle right here. And they had no child, because Elisheva was barren and both were advanced in years. Just like Abraham and Sarah, they both advanced in years. Boy, this is... And this is just the beginning of it. I'm telling you, it gets so good. More gooder, like I like to say. And it came to be that while he was serving as priest before Elohim in the order of his division, according to the institute of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to burn incense when he went into the dwelling place of Yehovah. Now, we've learned about this, you know, in the temple, especially in Moshe. So he's in the holy place. Not the most holy, he's in the holy place. And the entire crowd of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. I didn't dig into that, but I'm sure that's more than just to an hour of incense. And a messenger of Jehovah appeared to him standing on the right side of the slaughter place of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the messenger said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elisheva shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Yohanan." There we see Yah doing the same thing that he did in the beginning. Now we're in the New Testament, Brit Hadishah, and he's doing the same thing again. You know why? Because he don't change. That's a simple fact. He's doing what he said he's going to do. Because why? We're getting into the milk of the meat of the word here. Is he going to tell us why? And you shall have joy. But you think, last week I was full of joy. The happy for Itzhak. Because we need Itzhak. But right here, we need these people that's about to be born here also. Because this is where we come in after this. So this was so important. And you shall have joy. Y'all ladies, y'all know what that. Y'all went through the birth pains and the trouble that we had. But after the baby delivered, you have joy. And gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. What did Sarah say? The one that I laughed, they're going to laugh with me. For he shall be great before Jehovah and shall drink no wine and strong drink at all. For he shall be filled with a set-apart spirit even from his mother's womb. The angel's telling that. Now, where the angel's getting his word from? Jehovah. Because Jehovah is what? In control. And he shall turn many of the children of Israel to their Elohim. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Eliyahu, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the insight of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for Jehovah. This is where I want to be. I want to be a people prepared for Jehovah. Because look, he's coming. We keep saying he's coming. And some of you have been waiting patiently here a long time. You know what? Hang in there. Just relax. Hold on, because he's coming. He said he is. Zechariah said to the messenger, "By what shall I know this? For I am old and my wife is advanced in years." Why? That's a true statement. He's advancing, he's old. I hear that statement a lot around our house. "Don't y'all know I'm an old man?" This is what he's saying right here. And his wife is advanced in years. So we see the same pattern with Abraham and Sarah. Now here in the book of Luke. And the messenger answering said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of Elohim, and was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news." What are we doing here tonight? We're announcing good news. Because there's babies about to be born that we need, this world needs. And I did write some of the players down. Let me just give them to you right quick. Zechariah is H242148. It means Jehovah remembers. Elisheva is H472. My El has sworn, or El is an oath. Gabriel is H1403, warrior of El or man of El. I wonder where that Saints player, that one that got ridiculed, he wear his bandana here, man of God. I wonder where he got his inspiration from. And there's a couple more people. I didn't mention their names yet, but they're in here. Yosef is H3130. Jehovah has added. Yohanan, H3110, was Jehovah has graced. Or Jehovah is a gracious giver in the Greek, G2491. And one that I thought that was very interesting, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to read you her name, was Miriam. And it's H4113. Her name in the Hebrew means rebellion. Figure that one. And in the Greek, 3137, Maria or Miriam, their rebellion. I'm so glad that she was open. We're going to see by her lifestyle that she was open to set apart spirit, that she wasn't in rebellion. Can't help what her name means, but boy, I'm telling you, Yah used her mightily. And we're going to see that. And the messenger, let me go back to verse 19. And the messenger answering and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of Elohim, and was sent to speak to you and announce to you this good news. But see, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day this takes place, because you did not believe my words. You didn't have faith in my words, which shall be filled at the Moedim, at the appointed time. His wife is probably, no, you don't see that. Some of us today, imagine your husband can't speak for 9 months. That's not much intimacy there. That's a little change in the house when your husband can't speak for 9 months. Some of us may be happy. But this is what happened to him. Because he said, I'm gay. I'm standing in the presence of Elohim. And you want to ask this question? How am I going to know? And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled at his delay in the dwelling place. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they recognized that he had seen a vision in the dwelling place, for he was beckoning to them and remaining dumb. Can you imagine coming in tonight and trying to... This is what he's doing. Can't speak. I know that's... You know, when you read that, you just... For 9 months, not hearing her husband's voice. And it came to be, look at Yah's favor upon him, what he just told him, he's going to have a son. And it came to be, as soon as the days of his service was completed, he went away to his house, and after those days, his wife Elisheva conceived, just like Sarah. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, Yehovah has done this for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. Probably people mocking her all these years, speaking against her. I thought they were righteous, and couldn't Yah let them have any children? This is what Hagar is probably whispering in Sarah's ear. I got a child. I got a son. You ain't got one. You know, all this is not recorded, but you got to put our thinking caps on. What's going on? Why is it having a reproach? Because it was frowned upon. You know, to not have a son, to carry on the family name, the family business. This was, we're going to get into this later on in some point in time. You're going to see one man got 12 sons. How important that is. And Yehovah has looked on this for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. You know, Yah is watching. Ladies, Yah is watching y'all. He knows everything y'all go through. And in the sixth month, the messenger Gabriel was sent by Elohim. Why? He's in charge. Elohim's in charge. He's not doing his own stuff or his own thing. He's sent by Elohim to his city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a maiden engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the maiden's name was Miriam. And the messenger, coming to her, said, greetings, favored one. The master is with you. Blessed are you amongst women. I'm pretty sure she was keeping Torah. I'm pretty sure she was guarding the commands, or she wouldn't have had this encounter. And what was about to happen to her was the most greatest encounter history can ever talk about. But she was greatly disturbed. I would have been too. You have an encounter with an angel? Never seen one before in your life? Coming to her, she was greatly disturbed at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this was. And the messenger said to her, "Do not be afraid, Miriam, for you have found favor with Elohim." I'm so thankful we found favor. I believe we have found that same favor, that hain that looked upon Miriam right here is the same hain that is still around today. "And see, you shall conceive in your womb and shall give birth to a son and call his name Yeshua." Huh? Conceive, you see how? This is from Abraham and Sarah, their faithfulness. That's why we're here in this chapter today. Because this has been carried on for 28 generations down the line. Go to the book of Matthew. And you see, Yah gives the name again. Yeshua. I didn't write down the strong because I knew, look, I didn't have to write the strong down because it means Yah's salvation. I know what his name means. "And he shall be great. And he shall become the son. He shall be called the son of the Most High." You don't get any higher than that. "And Yehovah Elohim shall give him the throne of his father Dawid." You know, when he's coming back, he's going to be on that throne. We can put money on that. "And he shall reign over the house of Yaakov forever." Why Yaakov? Because out of that seed from Yaakov, Yaakov's fourth son, this is where he comes from. "Yaakov forever, and there shall be no end to his reign." What a day that's going to be. I don't know about you, but I was excited when I read that. No end to his reign. And then you know about it? You'll be there with him. But we have to remain. We have to minnow. "And Miriam said to the messenger, how shall this be since I do not know a man?" Why? She's just an engaged. She's a young woman. She's engaged to be married. That's why, how this is going to happen? You got to tell me. Unless Yehovah tells you, we don't know. It's no different than us today. Unless Yehovah gives you word, you don't know. You can go find a story. But that's all it'll be. "And the messenger answering and said to her, the set apart spirit shall come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And for that reason, the set apart one born to you shall be called Son of Elohim. And see, Elisheva, your relative, she has also conceived a son in her old age." Because this is what we're dealing with back in Genesis 21. "And this is now the sixth month to who was called barren." Wow, she was frowned upon. All these years, it doesn't give her age, but she's advanced in years. I know people here who's advanced in years. I tell you, I would laugh if they had a kid. But I know they ain't good. That's that word we look at, impossible. That would definitely be a miracle. So this is what we're dealing here. "Because with Elohim, no matter shall be impossible." Huh? Hallelujah. That's what he said. Didn't he say the same words to say, "Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything impossible that he can't do for us?" It's G101. Now we learned last week, G102. This word here is, not to have strength, power, or ability to be weak, cannot be done, to be impossible. Now it came from the root word, I have to go back in my notes to look at it. G102. That's where the two words are connected. But with Yehovah, there's nothing impossible. And I thought that was very important. No matter shall be impossible. There's nothing he can't perform. There's nothing that he can't do. And we just need to take him at his word. "And Miriam said, see, the female servant of Yehovah, let it be to me according to your word." I'm so thankful that she wasn't rebellious like her name goes. I'm your servant. Let this happen at your word. And the messenger went away from her. And Miriam arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Didn't we see Avram with haste when the messenger came? He was in haste to make them a meal. Now the messenger's left Miriam and she's in haste. Same parallels. To a city of Yehuda. And entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elisheva. And it came to be when Elisheva heard the greeting of Miriam that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elisheva was filled with a set-apart spirit. Now, didn't the messenger tell her what's going to happen to you? We have to take you out of this world. He told him that was going to happen. And cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women." Now the angel Gabriel just told her that. Now this was confirmation. Told again, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And who am I that the mother of my master should come to me?" What powerful words. "For look, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Man, this is so powerful. "Blessed is she who believes, for that which Yehovah has said to her shall be accomplished." His word will do what it said it's going to do. Because why? Because he said it. It's got to happen. Because he's not an El that should lie. Or the son of El that he should repent. Son of man that should repent. He don't have to. If he said it, we can bank on it. We just got to take him at his word. Because why? The foundation has been laid. All we got to do, we build upon his foundation. You can't go wrong. Why? Because we start with the chief cornerstone. You can't go wrong when we start with him. But listen to what she said. This is the part that we, the only time we stop and we don't continue reading. This is going to be so powerful. I hope this blesses you. "And Miriam said, my being makes Yehovah great, and my spirit has rejoiced in Elohim my Savior, because he looked on the humiliation of her female servant. For look, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed." All generations. And boy, was she blessed. Why? We needed Yohanan. And you know, he's a major player. Matter of fact, Yeshua said, amongst those born among women, there's none greater than John or Yohanan. "For he who is mighty has done wonders for me, and set apart is his name." His name is set apart, and we have to keep it set apart. "And his compassion is from generation to generation to those who fear him." We have to give him that honor that's due to him. "He did mightily with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thought of their hearts." Remember, we have to get that circumcised heart that we talked about. "He brings down rulers from their throne and exalt the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good items, and the rich he sent away empty." He's concerned about the poor. He's concerned about you and I. Rich people, they're not worried about some of this stuff because they're rich. But I talked with a guy today. He said, "Yeah, but your bank account ain't like your boss." I said, "I know it ain't. Not my bank account. But I got something much more valuable than that bank account. I can tell you that." "He sustained Yisrael, his servant, in remembrance of his compassion, as he spoke to our fathers," to who? "To Abraham and to his seed forever." How long? Forever. That's why we're reading it here in the book of Luke. That started in Genesis. And we still mention Abraham. So if you disconnect, you're going to lose the value in the scripture. "And Miriam stayed with her about 3 months and returned to her home. At the time was filled for Elisheva to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard how Jehovah have shown great compassion to her, and they rejoiced with her. Man, what a happy time in her life. And it came to be on the eighth day. Why not the first day? Second day, third day. We could pick a day. He said, come on Shabbat. Remember the Sabbath. He didn't say pick a Sabbath, pick a day. He said, I have the eighth day for you to do what? Circumcise your son. Where do we find that at? Go back to Genesis 17, what he told Abraham. He said, on the eighth day, you're going to circumcise your son. And here we are, centuries later into the future, in Bible time, what day are they using? The eighth day. And they came to circumcise the child, and they were calling him by the name of his father, Zechariah. And his mother answered and said, no, no, uh-uh. You know, we got our little dog, no, no. We teach her, no, no. But she shall be called Yohanan. Now I can see, because we're going to see the very next verse, can you see the people there in that time? That's what you would call. You would be named after your father or hold that name, that status, like we got a couple Jesses, because that's that daddy-son status. But we're going to see right, a whole name shift, Yohanan. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. What in the world are you calling him Yohanan for? Can you just hear these conversations, family? You know how it is when family get together? Boy, the chatter goes. We know. We're good at it. There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. Then they motioned to his father. Let's see what daddy going to say. We got to think, let's see what Papa Stop are going to say. Because after all, we got to have with the final authority. Let's see what Pop going to say. We got to go to the final authority. What he would like him to be called. And having asked for a writing tablet, he wrote saying, Yohanan is his name, and they all marvel. Okay, and it's settled. Daddy called him Yohanan, it's settled. And at once his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he was speaking, praising Elohim. You don't see him throwing up his hand. Oh, finally, you see him praising Elohim. We sang that song. Great is his faithfulness. Praising his name. Comes out and starts praising Elohim. Because why, for 9 months he ain't spoken. What do you think the first word want to come out of his mouth? Thank you, Father. Not only for his son, but just be able to talk. He's praising Elohim. And fear. Why? Fear came on all those dwelling around them. And all these matters were spoken of in all the hill country of Yehudah. I can imagine the gossip going around. Did you hear what happened to Zechariah and his wife? They had a baby in their old age. And all who heard them kept it in their heart, saying, what then shall this child be? And the hand of Jehovah was with him. And we know that from the story. Boy, what they're waiting to see. People are waiting to see what's going to become here. Just like they're waiting to see of Yohanan. People, they're watching. They're waiting to see. And Zechariah, his father, was filled with the set-apart spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be Jehovah, Elohim of Israel, for he did not look upon and work redemption. He did look upon and work redemption for his people. He worked redemption for you and I today. That are still alive, we're still around walking. There's still redemption. There's still hope for our families out there, our children, our loved ones. There's still redemption. And has raised up a horn of deliverance for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his set apart prophet from of old. I wonder where you find that at. Deliverance from our enemies and from the hand of all those hating us. I didn't write that. That's in here. But don't you know he's fighting for you? It might seem sometimes like the enemy is winning. It may seem that way. But what he said? The deliverance. From who? Our enemies. Because trust me, you have enemies out there. I have enemies out there. But that's deliverance. To show compassion toward our fathers and to remember his set-apart covenant. What set-apart? Now I ask you right now, what set-apart covenant are we talking about? Huh? This is what happens when you leave the foundation was laid and you want to build another foundation, you'll not know about the set-apart covenant. And boy, how we need that. Because you know why? It still stands today. Yeah, you need it for your children. You need it for your family. My daughter had a birthday yesterday. You know, I could have sent a lot of things. But I wonder, if some of y'all might have seen my post, if you see what I put on there, you know where it was from. Yehovah bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and guard you. This is what I wanted to. Then I put a happy birthday to her. Enjoy your day. But I want to know Yehovah has his covenant upon you. And oath which you swore to who? Abraham, our father. Why are we reading it? Why are we reading this? We unhitch from that. Boy. Which he swore to our father Abraham. To give to who? Us. See that little bitty word? How powerful that word is. To give to us. Us that's sitting here tonight in 2024 on March the 1st. It's us. As his promises for. And what he said, I read it a couple weeks ago in Ezekiel. Show him the door. If you don't think this is right, there's the door. Explain to the house, Ezekiel, to the house of Israel. Show him the exit. Show him the entrances and show him the exit. If this ain't the word, I don't know what else we're reading. To give us being delivered from the hand of our enemies. He's stressing this to you. Delivered from the hand of your enemy. Feel like the enemy's been on your back lately? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just don't have no enemy. Maybe you're just a goody two-shoe. You just want to get along with everybody. Well, I don't know what world you live in. Because this sure has changed since I've been walking around. To serve him without fear. He said, don't be afraid. In set apartness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. As long as you're living, doesn't matter if you're old, young, middle aged, where you're at in age, he's there all the days of your life. You have to be faithful to him. And you, child, shall be called a prophet. Did I lose? Yeah. And you, child, shall be called prophet of the Most High. For you shall go before the face of Jehovah to prepare his way. Still talking about Yohanan. Because he's preparing the way before Jehovah. And my prayer that the days I got left, that's what I want to be doing. Help preparing the way for Jehovah. You know, there's people out there, they call themselves a prophet. That means the prophet of the Most High. Because why? To give knowledge and deliverance to his people by the forgiveness of their sins through the tender compassion of our Elohim which the daybreak from on high has looked down upon us. And look, when you see the sunrise and daybreak, well, you see it from on high. That's confirmation of his word. I hear it on the job all the time. Every time I go out, I say, man, how y'all doing? Oh, man, doing all right. How you doing? Doing great. I'm here another day. You know, another day to see the sunrise. I'm here today. Thankful for life. And of course, then you hear, well, nobody, and don't pay to complain. You're right. You don't pay to complain. There's people are much worse off than where you're at today. We have to be thankful. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Because why? Because some people, their life is ending. Tomorrow, they won't see the sunrise. But we have hope. Even though if something happens tonight, you have hope in him. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Now look at verse 80. And the child grew. Now verse 8, we're about to go read in a little bit. And you know what he's going to say? And the child grew. And became strong in spirit. Yitzhak was strong in spirit. This is, but we're not talking about Yitzhak, but I'm just showing you that Yah's word from there to there, it doesn't change. It remains the same. We sang that in the song a little while ago. Does the earth pass away? Your word remains the same. Strong in spirit and was in the desert until the day of showing him himself openly to Yisrael and the appointed time. Not any time. It was designed by Jehovah. Everything we've read here was all designed by Jehovah. We've seen that in the scripture. Man, I didn't think I was going to read all 80 verses. When I sit on my couch, man, it's not like it takes me an hour to do this. When I get over here, this moves really fast. Well, that's good, because trust me, I got a lot of more. Let's go back to 21. Well, let's start at verse 8. It seemed like we're never going to get out of this, but I tell you, we're taking our time, so this is good. And the child grew. What do you know that? And was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Yitzhak was weaned. Now that word weaned, I thought it was pretty interesting. It's H1580, Gamal. But we think wean as weaning off a child off the milk to food. But these definitions, there's only one in there that's like that. It's to deal fully with, recompense, to deal out to do, to deal bountifully with, to recompense, repay, requite. This is wean? Yes. It's the word gamal. And to wean a child, to be weaned, to ripen, ripe, to bear ripe almonds. So somebody's definition was like, okay, I'm thinking wean in a baby sense, but what do you mean repay and requite and recompense? That's the payday coming. And Yehovah is going to wean a lot of people out of some bad habits when he comes. That's what weaning, that's what that gamal is. Not just weaning off of the milk. It's weaning out a lot of bad habits. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Mitzrayim, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Now this is where my notes kind of ran away with me. Because this mocking, we've learned a while back, is the word sakak. It's H6711, and it means to laugh, mock, play, to laugh, to jest, to sport, play, mock, sport, toy with. You need toying with Yehovah. Make a toy of. It's mentioned 13 times in Bereshit. Well, in Genesis. It's mentioned 13 times. But 13 times. I'm sorry. Let me look at my notes carefully. 11 times in Bereshit, but one time in Exodus and one time in Judges. Now, this is where we have to go look at this mocking, because this is where I really focus on this week, at this word mocking. Because you know, this mocking can get a lot of us in trouble, some of these bad habits that we need to get weaned off of. So let's look at something. Let's look in Judges. Let's go to chapter 16. This is a story that we know pretty familiar, but I don't know if we read it in a long time. Let's take a close look at it. Let's see what happens when we just want to hang by the fence of the Torah. We're going to see some things happen that gets us into trouble. And we need Jehovah to deliver us. And Shimshon went to Ahaz and saw a woman there, a whore, and went into her. the Ahathites, saying, Shimshon has come here. So they went round and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and kept silent all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, and we shall kill him. Now Shimshon laid wait midnight, and rose at midnight, and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gate posts, and pulled them up with the bar, put them on his shoulder, and took them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. That's very powerful. When you pull up fence and gate, we know Shimshon had a lot of strength. Because why? Yah gave him that strength. He was just an ordinary man, but when the Spirit of Yahweh come upon him, he can do things mightily. And it came to be afterward that he loved the woman in the Wadi Sirket, whose name was Delilah. And the princes of the Philistine came to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and see by what we might overpower him. Then we shall bind him to humble him, and let us give you each one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Shimshon, please reveal to me where your great strength lies, and by what your might be bound to humble you. We know that he shouldn't have been there in the first place. He was sent as a judge for Jehovah, but some things we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be entertained with, and we shouldn't be around. And Shimshon said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh cords, not yet dry, then I shall be weak and be like any other man. And the princes of the Philistine then brought to her 7 fresh cords, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. While those lying in wait stayed with her in the room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Shimshon. But he broke the cords as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength remained unknown. Look, something that Yah wants you to keep quiet about, we should learn. We're going to learn from the story that you should keep quiet about. And Delilah said to Shimshon, verse 10, look, you have mocked me. This is that mocking that we're talking about. And we're going to see, watch the road that it leads to. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing in life that to have one of these characteristic traits, because y'all don't put up with it. And he said to her, if they bind, now please reveal to me what you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me tightly with new ropes that never been used, then I shall be weak and be like any other man. And Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Shimshon. Obviously, I know one thing about him, Shimshon, he fell asleep a lot. Because you always got to wake him up to call. Say, look, the Philistines are coming. In the Torah, sometimes we fall asleep a lot. What are we trying to learn out of this? We have to be vigilant. Pay attention to what's happening. The Philistines are upon you, Shimshon, and those lying in wait were sitting in the inner room, but he broke them off his arm like a thread. So Delilah said to Shimshon, until now you have mocked me and spoken lies to me. Now this mocking also is H2048, hathal. To deride by implication, to cheat, deal deceitfully, deceive, and mock. Basically, lying. That's what mocking does. It's not only talking about someone or laughing at someone or whatever, and that's not a form of mocking. This goes deeper. Then she fastened, and he said, verse 13. So Delilah said to Shimshon, "Until now you have mocked me and spoken lies to me. Reveal to me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web, Then she fastened it with a pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Shimshon." But he awoke from his sleep. See, he's always falling asleep. I can't understand that. And I'm wondering, as much information as we get in this today's time, are we asleep? I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this mocking, how far it can go. We really, it's no time for sleeping. He said, "Awake, sleeper," the scripture says. We don't have time. We're losing loved ones out there. Our lives, look, your life is up for grab. And she said to him, "How do you say you love me? And how do you say I love you when your heart is not with me?" Uh-oh. This is what happens when you're not in the right place in Yehovah, where you should be, and you just kind of straddling the fence. Look, and maybe we don't have to really have to be here tonight. I can be here tomorrow. When your heart is not with me, we really need our heart circumcised. This part of the Torah portion really hit hard for me. "You have mocked me these 3 times, and have not made known to me where your great strength lies." Oh, honey, how you say you love me? "And it came to be when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his being was weary to death." Now, we've heard this language before. I'm going to go to it, but I need to finish. I want to skip to my next point, but I'm going to hold tight because I'm going to finish reading. I'm going to show you what is mocking, what happens. And we're going to come back to verse 16. That he made known to her all his heart. See what happens when you open up to the enemy? And said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to Elohim." You shouldn't have been there in the first place. If you're a Nazarite to Elohim, you shouldn't have been there. "From my mother's womb, if I was shaven, then my strength would leave me, and I would be as weak as any other man." Now we learn from the Torah, we learn from the writing of Moshe, that look, you don't go shave your head. If you only grow a little bit of hair, you wear it proud. If you got a full head of hair, wear it proud. But when you go shaving your head, you're acting just like somebody, what the scripture said, don't be like. He said, don't be like 3 people. One of them was Korah. We're going to learn that with Korah. What did he have? What he was? Bald. That's what the enemy's trying to take away from you. He's trying to steal your joy. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy you. And Delilah saw that he had made known to her all his heart. And she sent a call for the princes of the Philistines, saying, "Come up at once more, for he has made known to me all his heart." So the princes of the Philistines came up to her and brought the silver in their hand. And she made him sleep on her knees. Take a nap, honey. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I'm home, I'm guilty because I like taking a nap. I do. But when, look, and it's just a cat nap. All I want is a cat nap because I just want to reboot because my PC sometimes, I got a lot of information here on paper that I'm trying to get through tonight, but it ain't going to happen. But I just want you to see, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a nap. But if you're napping around with the enemy, you asking for it. That's the difference. I lost my place right here for a second. And she made, verse 19, she made him sleep on her knees and call for a man and shave off the 7 locks of his head. Thus she began to humble him. We know what that is. And his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Shimshon. And he awoke out of sleep and said, let me go out as before, as at a time, and shake myself loose. But he did not know that Jehovah had turned aside from him. What a sad moment right there. When you think Jehovah is with you because you've been playing with the enemy. Oh, I got Yah on my side. He's with me. You can learn a lot from this story. So the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. This is what happens when you go on that trail of mocking and you want to be hanging around. You pay for it. There's a payday coming. Remember, we better get weaned off of some things in our lives. And brought him down to Uzzah and bound him with bronze shackles. And he became a grinder in the prison. But, there's Jehovah right there. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Look, even though what had happened, he opened up to the enemy. Jehovah still showing pain here. Still showing that loving commitment still towards Shimshon. And you can see it in your lives. He still shows loving commitment to us. Because I was no better than Shimshon playing around with the enemy. And the princes of the Philistines gathered to slaughter a great slaughtering to Dagon, their mighty one, and to rejoice. And they said, oh, our mighty one has given a Shimshon, our enemy, into our hands. Because he was an enemy to them. Look, they couldn't mess with Shimshon. Because why? He was a man of Elohim. And Elohim put him in that spot as a judge. And the people saw him and praised their mighty one, for they said, our mighty one has given into our hand, our enemy, the destroyer of our land, who slew many of us. Now, Shimshon, you go back and read a few chapters. Look, he did some stuff to the Philistine. But look, you do your job and you leave. That's your job. If God sends you there to speak a word, you speak your word and you leave. You don't go hang around. They're not your friends. You don't go hang around. We're not partying with them. We're not sitting at home and drinking tea and eating shortcake, that's for sure. Why? Because he was an enemy, the destroyer of our land, who slew many of us. And it came to be when their hearts were glad. Just the wine kicking in. Because why? They're having a party. That they said, call for Shimshon and let him entertain us. That's my favorite thing. Are you not entertained? That entertain, that's mocking. So they called for Shimshon from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the columns. And Shimshon said to the young man who was holding his hand, let me alone and let me feel the column which support the house so that I lean on them. And the house was filled with men and women, and all the princes of the Philistines were there, and about 3,000 men and women were on the roof who watched Shimshon entertaining. Look, we're not here for entertainment tonight. We're here to speak the word to you. Because we have to learn this stuff. We have to take these things into heart. These stories in here, they're not just for inspiration. They're for our learning. That's what the scripture is. Everything that's written beforehand was for our learning, not to get involved with. And Shimshon called to Jehovah, saying, O Master Jehovah, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me. What a powerful word. That's all we need sometimes. I pray only this time, O Elohim, and let me avenge myself on the Philistine with vengeance for my two eyes. And Shimshon took hold of the two middle columns which supported the house, filled with people. And he braced himself against them, one on the right and the other on the left. And Shimshon said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself mightily, and the house fell on the princes and all the people in it, and the death that he killed at his death, and the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. And his brothers came And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and buried him up and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaoleth in the burial site of his father Manoah. And he ruled Israel for 20 years. This is what mocking, if we're not careful, in our daily walk, in our life journey, it leads to death. It's nothing good come out of it. Let's look at, you remember we said verse 16? Let me read it to you one more time. And it came to be when she pressed him daily. Because the enemy's after you. Daily the enemy's there. If you put yourself, especially if you put yourself in that arena, the enemy's there. We have to resist the enemy. Resist the devil, the scripture says. And he'll flee from you. That's what he said. Daily with her word and urge him. Honey, you know I love you. You love me? Yeah. Where's your strength? It's just trickery from the enemy. So his being was worried to death. Now, let's go to Exodus. I'm going to show you where we've seen this before. Genesis 39. And Yosef, verse 1, had been taken down to Mizraim, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard in Mizraim, brought him from the Ishmaelite who had taken him down there. I know this is going to be further down the road, but this is something that caught my attention. And it came to be that Jehovah was with Yosef, and he became a prosperous man, and was in the house of his master, the Mizraim. And the master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Yosef found favor in his eyes and served him, and he appointed him over his house and gave into his hand all that he had. And it came to be from the time that he appointed him over his house and all that he had that Jehovah blessed the Mizraim's house for Yosef's sake, and the blessing of Jehovah was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left in Yosef's hand all that he had, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Yosef was handsome in form and handsome in appearance. So we see the hand of Yah upon Yosef. Even though he was mistreated, even though he was mocked, Yah was still with Yosef. After all this, being betrayed by your brothers, your own flesh and blood brothers. And after these events, what events? All these prospering that the Mizraim is out and seeing what Yosef is doing and he's in charge. After these events, it came to be that his master's wife lifted up her eyes to Yosef and said, "Lie with me." Here we go. Same story. Basically almost, but with different characters. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has given into my hand all that he has. No one is greater in this house than I, and he has not withheld whatever from me but you, because you are his wife. And how shall I do this great evil and sin against Elohim?" Now what we learn in Genesis, you're a dead man, Avimelech. Return the man his wife. If not, surely you're a dead man. Now you think maybe Yosef might have heard about that before? I wonder. And it came to be as she spoke to Yosef, how long would your Bible say? Day by day. What was she doing to Shimshon? Day by day. And he did not listen to her. I'm so thankful Yosef was a man. And he didn't listen to her to lie with her, to be with her. And it came to be on a certain day. Now this goes really deep. I looked at this a while back, this certain day. But we're not getting into that. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Verse 13, it came to be when she saw he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, this he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us." And he came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. Now you remember I told you this mocking, it'll get you to lie? It's more than just talking or laughing or gesturing about someone. Or, you know, especially elderly folks. That's the world's thing today. That shouldn't be ours. As she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to be when he heard, and I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. And she kept his garment with her until his master came home. And she spoke to him these same words, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought in, who you brought to us, came in to mock me." So I thought this was very serious that when we look at this mocking, that we really got to take notice to this. Remember, it's to derail by implication, to cheat, deal deceitfully, deceive and mock. And that was a 2048 definition of that one. And we know the rest of the story, that his master burned with him, and he throws Joseph into prison. But look, let's just take it a little bit further. Let's go to Matthew 27. We say, because remember, we unhitched from that. So let's go to the Brit Hadishah. Let's see what the Brit Hadishah says about mocking. And the one who bore all our sin for us. In Matthew 27 and verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Yeshua, the same one we just read about earlier in Luke, into the court and gathered the entire company of soldiers around him. And having stripped him, they put a scarlet robe on him and plaited a crown of thorns. There you see, when I read that, I thought about the ram that was caught in the thicket that we're going to learn about later on. They put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and kneeled down before him and what? Mocked him, your Savior, saying, "Greetings, sovereign of the Yehudim." And spitting on him, they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had did what? Mocked him. They took the robe off him and put on his own garment and led him away to be impaled. He said, mocking will go that far, it'll take you all the way to death if we're not careful. How do I know that? They did it to your Savior. That word is, I can't believe I didn't write the definition down. Emphazo, G1702, to play with, trifle with, to mock, to delude, deceive. This is what they done. Let's get another witness. Because every time we get a disciple, somebody's seeing something a little different. So let's go to Mark. I got you, brother. Let's go to Mark 15. And look at verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into the court, which is the palace, and called together the entire company of soldiers. Now, I don't know what entire company of soldiers contain of. But I can tell you, they were more than just two or three. And they decked him with purple, and they plaited a crown of thorns to put it on him. And he began to call out to him, "Greeting, sovereign of the Yehudim." And they kept beating him on the head with a reed, and were spitting on him, and bowing the knee, and they were bowing down to him. And when they had mocked him, are y'all getting this tonight? This is serious stuff. They took the purple off him and put on his own garments on him and led him out to be impaled. We got to get rid of this guy. He's false. He's teaching stuff in the synagogue that on Shabbat. He's lying. He's deceiving the people. That's what they were saying. Well, I wonder, what are we doing here tonight? Let's go to Luke 22. We ain't finished yet. 63. And the men were holding Yeshua, who were holding Yeshua, were mocking him and beating him. This is what he took for us. And how dare we? Who are we? Make up our own rules. We're mocking him, beating him. For what? For you and I. For us. Today, tonight. For ego, for I. Remember these words. Me, my. This is what they did to my Savior. Your Savior. Our Savior. Us that are here tonight. And they have him blindfolding him. They were striking him on the face. And were asking him, saying, "Prophesy. Who is it that struck you?" And they said this, and they said to him, "Much more blaspheming." Now, when you thought mocking was bad, it leads you into blaspheming. Blasphemeo, G987, to speak reproachfully, rail at, revile. I mean, we experienced that already, by the way. Calumniate, blaspheme, to be evil spoken of, revile, railed at, to speak impulsively. I had to look that one up. Nothing good once you start mocking, and it leads to get your eyes put out because you're hanging around the enemy. Thank God for Yosef being a man's man. And now we see the life of Yeshua, a man's man, taking all this. For what? And we come over here and sit for 1 hour, hour and a half on padded chairs? And we can't come to his set apart time? Where he set apart? Where he told us to remember and keep it. Remember it. Impulsively. That means in a way that shows no respect, especially for Yehovah or religion. Look, when you lose respect for Yehovah, you lose respect for anybody else. You lose respect for your pastor, for your leaders, for your mama, your daddy. That's what mocking. This is what happens when you get on that road, and you can be like Shimshon. You dare to do a job, but you want to hang around. Look, this is so serious. We ain't done with the mocking yet. I'm just pointing the highlight. I'm just trying to hit the highlight tonight because I'm running out of time. Maybe we can get one more in. Let's go to John. John is pretty colorful in John. Chapter 18, verse 19. Then the high priest asked Yeshua about, his taught ones. What are we supposed to be tonight? His taught ones. Why is the high priest asking about his taught ones? Because we're supposed to be following our rabbi. We're supposed to be saying what he's saying. We're supposed to be walking where he's walking. Going places he likes to go. Why? Because he's in control. We ain't supposed to be trying to say anything different or do something different that he didn't authorize. Look at verse 19. The high priest asked Yeshua about his taught one and his teaching. What do you think I'm going to say tonight? For sure I ain't going to say something. I've not been instructed not to say. Yeshua answered him, "I speak openly to the world." What am I doing here tonight? We're speaking openly. We're not hiding. I always taught in the congregation, in the set apart place, where the Yehudim always meet, and I speak no word in secret. We're not hiding from the enemy. I can tell you that tonight. And nor should we be afraid of him, or what comes our way. Because why? He fights for you. I just read that tonight. He's with you. Or maybe we there's some area we got to clean up in our lives first. He's still with you, because even though Samson got his head shaved, he said his hair still began to grow. His mercy is still upon us. And besides, you're still here. You're here with us tonight, those of you that's here. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I say to them. So I say to them, see, they know what I say. If anybody wants to know what's being said here, tell them. Or you know what? Come and see. This is a famous saying. Come and see. Come listen for yourself. Before you look. But the enemy, no, it doesn't matter. He's still going to mock you. He's still going to say you're teaching false. It just is what it is. Let them, the scripture says. When they speak evil of you and when they revile on you and call you, let them, the scripture says. And when he had said this, one of the officers who stood by slapped Yeshua in the face. What? None of us would want to take that tonight. Saying, do you answer the high priest this way? In what way? That was a smart aleck answer. Yeshua answered, if I have spoken evilly, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why do you strike me? And Hanan sent him bound to the high priest Caiaphas. Why do you strike me? Because I speak the truth? Because people are not going to like it. And it's just what it is. But it's his word. What else are we going to teach here? Are we going to go back? Or are you going to go back to the worldly ways and compromise? It won't last. Your foundation won't last. So I'm out of time. I'm going to stop right there. There's also one more mocking. And I think the text was from Galatians 6. It's verse 1 through 10. But I'm not going to read the whole thing because it says, Yehovah is not mocked. What a man sows, that he's going to reap. I just want to let you know that. And it's G3456. It says, it's moktarezo, to turn up the nose or sneer at, to mock, derail, ridicule, to make mouth at. And I wish I had time to get into that, but I don't have the time. Let me tell you, this stuff, we have to be careful. You know, I'm so thankful for his word. His word is there for us. It's for our learning. Amen?